And welcome back once again to the Endurance Hour podcast, episode 162, alongside Roger Thompson in the flesh. I'm Dave Erickson, here at a headquarters together and talking about a potpourri of topics. Hope you enjoyed the last episode about guided meditation for athletic performance. This was something recorded in Tucson. Roger and I were there. A gentleman came to speak to camp members and walked us through, you know, how to be in the moment.
Right.
What do you remember about that? What did you take away from it?
You know, at first, you know, when you're talking about meditation and people are coming in, it's, I mean, normally when people go to a meditation, you know, I guess, class or...
Sure. Or session.
Session, yeah. I think that's better. Session. You know, they're going to that. And I think in his situation, it was a little tougher because we were all there. We were going to the next session, but we had a lot of us, it's like, well, I wonder what it is, you know, type thing. And then it's like, oh, we're meditating. It's like, all right, we're all excited to meditate. You know, that's a tough crowd to all of a sudden really get in that zone versus, you know, kind of people going to a session and they're getting kind of in that mindset and walking into the room, kind of like yoga,
yeah,
where things, the mood is settled down and you're feeling a little calmer and maybe the temperature of the room and the lights and, you know, and we're in basically a conference / cafeteria-ish room, mm-hmm, and this guy is behind a lecture. And so, I mean, it's like I thought it was cool, and I think there's a lot of value in it, and I joke with Jesse all the time. I said, I just want a massage table in our basement, in a closet, just that I can just go down there and lay face down, and to me, that would be my meditation.
And play the music in the background.
Yeah, and just have something in the background, but because it's that just centering moment, and I do that actually when I come home from work. I'll just say, I just need some defrag time, and I'll just go with all my clothes on, just lay crosswise in our bed, and just lay there for about 10 minutes. Sometimes I'll fall asleep for a second, and then I'm up, and I'm like, okay, I'm recentered. I'm ready to roll. I can get after it, but I come home, and I just feel very... I guess my brain's just really busy and just a lot of things firing, and I hate that feeling.
Mm. Well, you're coming off of work right now.
Yeah.
To do this episode today, and so are you still busy in the brain?
No, I can check out of that pretty quickly. I enjoy this. So yeah. I get excited to come, you know, and do this. So it's a little easier to transition. So, but yeah, long day of talking for whatever reason.
I know. I felt really stressed for time all this week, in anticipation for this coming weekend. But you know, when we're doing this, I forget about everything else.
Right.
And I'm in the moment.
Right.
And this is fun.
Yeah.
I look forward to this. And even though it's challenging sometimes to coordinate our schedules to get here and do whatever, it's like, but when we're here, it's like, oh, this is no big deal.
Yeah.
I forget about everything. I forget everything. Roger, you were highlighted, and I posted on one of my social media platforms.
Highlighted.
You were in USA Triathlon's magazine recently, the ranking issue. On the cover is Josiah Middaugh.
Right.
He is an Xterra world champion. And I was going through it. I was actually just looking for photos and seeing if I recognized any athletes or any kits. And then I went through and I saw, oh, this is the ranking issue. And they've got, of course, they had the regions, Pacific Northwest, Southwest, Northeast, and so on. And then I kind of thumbed through it and I look at athletes of the year. And I saw two athletes with Timex kits on. One was the actual Timex multi-sport athlete. And that was Ellen Hart,
right?
And then I saw a kit here, which is a factory team kit in the lower left hand corner. I didn't recognize the person, but they look really stealthy and they look badass. And there's Tim O'Donnell and there's some other age groupers here. And I go, huh, there must be some more names in here. And I turn over. Of course, you got Gwen Jorgensen, the Olympic ITU Athlete of the Year.
Prior Timex athlete.
Yes. And then here it is, 2015 Athletes of the Year, Grand Masters Triathletes of the Year, female category, Ellen Hart, member of the Timex team. She spoke at our camp last year. Very emotional, talking about her previous eating disorders,
right,
and how she's been struggling with that. And she is, what is it, a three-time world champion within like 55 days?
Right, yeah, from duathlon, Ironman, and...
an ITU somewhere?
Was it ITU or was it 70.3? I forget what. It was just... but if you just look at that, like, that's impressive. But if you look at her whole year, it's just like... everything, it's unreal.
Okay, and here it is. 55 to 59 champion at Kona, 55 to 59 champion at 70.3 Worlds, and then the same age group for ITU age group sprint and standard triathlon world championships in Chicago. These are her overall accomplishments for 2015, and then runner-up at the sprint nationals.
And I think, and that's just try. And then she went on to win the ITU World Championships for her age group in duathlon as well. So wow. I'm pretty sure I could, I mean, maybe I'm wrong with that, but I'm positive that's, she, yeah, it's nuts.
And she's based out of Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
So I'm going through, looking at some more, and then I just happened to thumb through the age group of men in, okay, now I've lost it. Be organized here. Well, I posted it on,
I think it's, it went men or women and then goes to men. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's got to be right back.
And I saw Tim. Here it is.
Yeah.
So this is 40 to 44 males.
So the younger guys.
Young guys. Hate being in this age group. Number one, Tim Hola, 107.9 points. He's 41 years old. So he's going to be in that top five for quite a few more years. At number seven, with 101.907, keep that in mind, 101.907, Roger Thompson, Washington.
Yeah, made the cut.
Now, Chris Thomas, also on the team.
Right.
101.855.
Right.
So you two were separated by 0.5 points.
Right.
Between seventh and eighth place.
Right. And, you know, and again, that just kind of goes to show you a little bit of the, Tim did a race, and not to, Tim's a phenomenal athlete, not to take anything from Tim, but he did a race that's like, I have no one's even heard of this race, and it was like 108 point race, and it was a, I don't know, some bizarre, I don't even remember if it was a duathlon or what it was, it had to have been triathlon, but it was some, bizarre race that had a ridiculous amount of points, which was kind of interesting. And Chris, there's no question in my mind, I mean, I shouldn't be ahead of Chris. Chris's head to head with Tim and I would beat both of us. So it's
How does the point system work here?
Well, it goes on. Again, you can read the front, but it basically takes your. You have to do at least three races, and then it takes where you finish percentile of the overall winner, and you might be the winner. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, and then it has to do with number of participants in the event as well.
Okay, so it's weighted differently, depends on the race.
And then it kind of, I think it factors in those athletes and what they did at different races. So it's a probably a fairly large algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's one way to do it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what does this do for an athlete to be ranked at a certain level? It gets you in access or entry into some other USAT nationals race?
If you're in the top, yeah, a certain percentage at a race, but you don't even have to be ranked. You could do one USA triathlon race or sanctioned race, and if you finish in the top certain percentage, you know, you qualify for nationals. I'm sure you've received those emails before. I got one of those before.
Because I did a sprint and I was top five.
Right, and so you'll get an email that says you qualify. But that, I mean... I should know more, but on that, but I don't, you don't really get, there's no, you get because you are top 10, you basically get your name in a magazine,
okay.
Or their magazine. So yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you can also search all those, I guess, rankings online as well.
I wasn't in the list.
Oh, you weren't? Well, you might be on, if you go search, you might be in
there. There were 300 people on this list in our age group.
Remember, it's a big sport. And our age group is huge.
I think I misspelled my name. I don't know if I was in there.
Maybe it's under David. did you do three? Yeah, you did three USAT.
Last year?
You're ranked. There's no question. You're ranked. Those might be, I don't know what that is.
Top 300 in the world.
Maybe. I don't know.
Didn't quite
make the cut. I think it's that. I think it's far more accurate than WTC's all-world rankings that, you know, somebody that never finished in the top eight is ranked number one because they did two Ironmans and three halves, so they've accrued a bunch of points.
You know what? In 2013, I did two fulls and a half. And I got a silver.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't do very well in the biggest scheme of things.
Right.
But I guess it's because of how many times I participated.
Yeah, exactly.
It puts you into that category.
Exactly.
Did it three times. You get more points for a full distance.
And that's, if you look at those guys, the guys that are ranked in the all-world rankings are, you know, they normally have done quite a few.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I've
nothing to take away from it. It's still cool.
No, yeah, it's just another way to do points. But mm-hmm. I also think it should, in my opinion, to do it that way, you should just take their top two results. or top three, like USA Triathlon does. It's not about, I've done more races, so all those factor in. It's like, no, just take the top three. The top three Ironman events, whether it's 70.3, 5150, whatever it is, take the top three, and that's it. And just rank those versus saying, oh, you only did two, but this person did eight, so they're ranked higher than you. It's like, yeah, they finished in the middle on all of them.
If I pay more entries,
exactly,
I'm going to get a little more,
yeah,
more
and points. Then you can buy clothes that say AWA gold or silver or bronze,
or the sticker that still sits on my bike. Or if you are an all-world athlete, you get to go up in line.
You know, that is probably that's probably the biggest advantage. I would say that's been the only thing that I have, I think, seen in terms of, I get, you know, things all the time that says, oh, early registration or priority registration. It's like, oh, for a race in Czechoslovakia, but in Slovakia or in, you know, the UK or Australia. And it's just like, well, great,
but it was at Ironman Coeur d'Alene last year,
yeah,
that we got to move up against the line. Like, and it's a long line.
And sometimes
too.
It's a long line. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, one more crossover athlete. This is not the first time we've had someone who's a NASCAR driver or a race car driver. But I saw this also in the same magazine. Jimmy Johnson, NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion, is now a triathlete. He was doing some swims, apparently, at his local YMCA, and someone asked him, what race are you training for?
Right.
And he didn't really get it at first. And then he kind of figured it out and said, oh, I guess triathlon would be something I can try. And so he started hosting sprint triathlons outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, as part of what he created, the Jimmy Johnson Foundation Wellness Challenge. So he is now a triathlete doing triathlons. And he says it's really good because there's a lot of correlation between what you experience as a NASCAR driver, specifically hydration.
Right.
And as a triathlete, here's a question. I'll just do one question. You guys can look at the magazine later. He says, USA Triathlon asks him, what parallels and differences do you see between triathlon and race car driving? I kind of just mentioned that. He says, the not so similar part would be you're creating the motion, the power, and the energy versus the race car. But there are so many different things that come into play that are similar. Hydration and the importance of it. The mental mindset. It doesn't matter if I'm in the race car or swim, bike, run. You become very aware of 100% effort. And you know if you go above that, you're going to crash the car or you're going to fail on the run. Basically bonking, I suppose. You learn to identify mentally with different aspects of your own skill set and what you're capable of.
Interesting.
Yeah. So another athlete who is doing that. Who knows if he'll be one of those Kona celebrity athletes.
Right.
We've had the chef last year.
Right.
Gordon Ramsay.
Right. Paulo Ono.
Yep.
Heinz Ward.
Heinz Ward was that before that. Who else was there?
There's The Bachelor, there's
Biggest Loser kind of people.
Yeah, and there's like some model I remember years ago. She's some model.
From Baywatch?
Maybe
she was. But she wasn't one of those, what they're doing nowadays by bringing a celebrity in there.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, interesting. Just check it out, USA Triathlon Magazine. Just got it in the mail yesterday, I think. A couple topics on this episode today. Strava. I am now the owner of three new KOMs.
Oh, you are?
Yes. As of yesterday, got two more. But I told you about one that was on this really mini, I don't think it's even a mile, but it's some switchbacks someone found on this trail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, I don't know, it's no big deal. But I just thought it was kind of cool because it gives you a challenge.
Absolutely.
I know you have a bunch of them that you don't even know about until after the fact. But I saw some yesterday, and I deliberately went after them.
I'm not going to hide it.
No.
I went after them.
No. I wanted to. And they're personal right. ones because I'm trying to beat myself.
Absolutely.
And I did. And I see where I am. And I go, 1 second faster here or 2 seconds faster there. Or how the hell did that guy go that fast?
Right. And sometimes it's a car.
It's a car or it's a tailwind.
Right.
Or someone else's cell phone.
Right.
In someone's back pocket.
Right.
How much do you pay attention to Strava?
You know, I think Strava has a lot of value in a lot of aspects. I think in larger communities, when you have, 800 or 7,000 people that have done a certain segment, and, other communities, our community in certain areas, there's very few. And I'll create some segments just on certain rides that I do. And then it allows you, I believe, on the premium accounts to basically compare all your efforts, and you can, and it graphs it, so you can kind of see where your improvement is. Like in March, you went this, in, you know, through the year, you got faster, and you know, just where those high points are. So it's kind of cool. When we did that threshold test, that's a whole Strava segment there, and that's great, because the next time we do a test, we can compare that exact same segment again, and see which sections you went faster on or slower on than prior efforts. So I think it's cool. I think it does, you know, create a little bit of competition here and there. There is obviously, when you have big tailwinds, like when you're, you know, trees are falling in people's lawns, and all of a sudden people go, oh, I think I'll head west today, you know, with this huge tailwind. Yeah. Those are hard to beat again, you know. But I also, you know, I think I look at it like you've said to me, or you've noticed, it's like, wow, you have, you know, a couple segments, but when I look at your ride that you did, it was part of a
6-hour, 110-mile ride. Yeah,
huge long ride.
Did you realize that you were killing it that day?
Well, and that's the thing, is sometimes people create segments like that, and you just happen to roll across them, and no one else has, and you know, maybe they were on a mountain bike and you're on your TT bike. So I think, you know, all in all, sometimes it's a nice document of a ride that you did. And you know, it's kind of cool to see what people are doing. But yeah, another social piece.
Now, do you use it at all for running?
I can. I haven't loaded much this year on Strava for riding or running. I've put a couple things on there just for like some efforts that I've done that I want to compare, because I think it creates a nice tool to compare. But I haven't put that much. But yeah, I use it for running too, and loops that I've done, and you know, certain segments that, you know, people in the area have created. So, but I don't carry my phone. I download it off my, you know, Run Trainer 2.0, and then just drop it onto that.
What I like about the Strava, when you keep it with your phone, and I'll listen to like music at the same time,
which right,
it does kill your battery.
Oh, it's,
if you listen to like Pandora or a book along with Strava, you still have a couple hours worth of exercising, but it gives you time splits verbally with the run.
Right,
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You know, I don't know what the wording is, but you know, mile one is complete. Previous lap time was, overall time is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, I don't have to look down. I always have my watch on with anyway for heart rate or just my my real time pace. But I like to look at that. And the other day I went on and did a track workout, and somehow there's also a setting here where they keep track of 2 mile splits.
Oh,
I don't know why that is.
Because you don't want to listen to 1 mile. You probably said it.
Well, it just kept track. Like, here's your times for a 2 mile split. Here it is. Let me pull it up right now. 2 mile loop.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know there was 2 mile loops, but it kept track of a 2 mile loop, and it showed what my time was. And I've done this 11 times for a 2 mile loop. Apparently, maybe it was on the same day. But the thing is, I went to a high school track, and other people have done that one. So that's what it is here. So now I'm looking at these segments for run, and Josh Hadway has a 2 mile loop at, this seems right, 1306.
It's not that's not crazy fast.
Not crazy fast, but apparently other people went to this high school and did it, and I'm 12th. Okay.
And he's the first one?
He's the first one, but who knows how often he does
that. 6:30.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. What's my point to that one? I'm not sure.
But it has 2 miles. There's some great devices out there, or I should say apps out there. I know a friend of ours uses one that is basically, it's a GPS, so it uses a bit of battery. Mm-hmm. But it basically, someone can tell, like if you went for a ride, you know, Melissa could pull your, where you are up online, kind of like Find My
iPhone. Oh, is this something iPhone. Craig was doing?
Yeah, they both use it. And it's a pretty cool thing. It just uses, obviously, GPS. It's following where you are. But and if you stay in one spot for over 10 minutes, it sends an alert out. So yeah, I mean, it's all that stuff's really cool. It's just more tools and tricks. And problem is, you just get so many out there. You wait for one to really stick, you know. Mm-hmm. And Strava, obviously, has been there. And I know, what is it, Runkeeper or Run...
There's map my fitness,
or map my run, map my bike, map my swim.
Really?
Map whatever. I think you can map whatever you want. You could map my swim with, you know, map my run, because you're just drawing lines.
Okay. I love this. This is a free form.
Right.
Potpourri. Talking about swim. Did I post something you saw about my swim the other day? Oh, yeah, you saw. I said, hey, Siri, how many yards is 2.4 miles? Because I thought, I just don't want to do the math. I was just lazy.
Right.
And I love Siri. She's wonderful, and I have her as a British accent, I think.
Ooh.
So she's pretty cool. I said, so let's do it right here. Yeah. Hey Siri, how many yards is 2.4 miles?
4,224 yards.
I just want to kiss her.
Yes.
So I did that because...
You didn't do German?
I haven't, outside of, this is so bad, outside of an Ironman, I don't think I've swam, maybe once or twice in the last couple of years, a 2.4 mile swim. So the other day, I went to the Y, and this is like, I just felt, I was in the mood. I don't know what it was. I said, I'm just going to jump in. I'm just going to go. No warm up, no stopping. I didn't flip turn for the first half of it, first 2,000. I just went and swam 4,225 yards to see what my time was. Because I've been working on my swim technique. And I thought, okay, if I stay consistent, fortunately, you're straight in a pool, so it's different than open water. But let me see where I am. Let me see how I feel. And I just try to stay consistent. And I stayed consistent at 140s for basically the whole time. And I did it in just like a little over 110. And it felt easy.
Wow.
It felt easy. And I was just really surprised because I've been working on my technique because of a friend of ours, Wendy Mader, has kind of taught me some things through video on how to swim faster. And I don't know, do you see a downside? And I don't know if this is giving me a false sense of, not security, but confidence, that I didn't warm up and I swam pretty well for me.
Right.
For me, that's
good.
Well,
when you're swimming that long, you get warmed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but so what's this?
You're not going to start cold. You know, you might, and especially if you're not sprinting from the start. Yeah, it's just a long, it's just like you going out for a run. And you start running immediately at the pace that you're going to run the whole thing at. I think with swimming, the only drawback to doing something like that is that is if you know you have poor form, your poor form is just going to get it's breaking down, and then you're training yourself to do it wrong for a long time. Yeah. But you know, if as long as you're keeping things in check, and you know, that's a great swim to do. You know, just whether it's that distance or just doing 4,000 straight, and just
which is why I did it.
Yeah, is just going use it as a benchmark, and that's a lot. I mean, a lot of the training, you know, even in the workout that or the schedule that we created, there's a basically one of my favorite workouts that I do all the time in there. That basically I eliminate a lot of those variables to see how my fitness is coming when it comes to swimming. All things stay the same, and sometimes it's about tweaking efficiency and less about fitness. So you know, being smarter, you know, managing, you know, whether you're coming off the wall, managing your breathing, managing your hand entry and your stroke and your kick, and you know, just everything. And I think there's a lot of value in that, and getting that feel versus constantly doing 100s and 50s and drills and things like that. There's no, I guess, you know, fluidity with when you do that. So, but do you want to go out and swim 2.4 miles on every workout you do?
No,
probably not, because you basically that's just going out and running an aerobic pace every single day. You're not going to get faster. You need those thresholds. You need those tough, hard sets. You need those isolated drills. You need the kicks. You need all that stuff. Paddles, building strength, just like any workout. It's just like any cycling workout, running workout, any workout. So, but I know a lot of triathletes like just to get in the water and just paddle away. But doing something like that, it's like, you know, even if you signed up for an Ironman, a lot of people want to run a marathon to make sure they can run that far. You know, it's just like, it's a lot different than that. But, you know, your fitness, there's no question you can swim it, but man, what are you going to feel like? So
what would you say to an athlete who does something like this when they say, well, coach, does that mean I don't have to warm up before my race if I know this is what I can do without a warm up?
Absolutely. I don't think warming up for a swim in a race really does anything. You know, maybe in the morning, it's probably better to go for a little run after you get your bike checked in and kind of create a little sweat and get the blood flowing, get the muscles kind of lubed up. But if you can't, when you warm up for a race in the water, I think it's something like if you can't warm up within 5 minutes of the race start, meaning you finish your warm up and the race is going to start within 5 minutes. It might even be less than that. The benefit of your warm up is completely lost. Meaning, if you go and warm up and then you sit on the starting line for 15-20 minutes, which is pretty much an Ironman, your warm up that you just did is completely lost. You're now starting as cold as you were before. Your blood has settled. Your heart rate has dropped. Your muscles aren't.
That blows me away. So you know, we're sitting on the beach at Ironman Coeur d'Alene,
right,
which is my first big one of the year. So I'm sitting there. Is it pointless to get out in the water? and do a warm up if my mindset is that warm is going to help me.
Yeah, I don't think physiologically it helps you unless you are going in warming up, you come back and then you have 2 minutes and you start.
Okay,
but it definitely can help. I like to get in the water just to get my wetsuit seated. You know, like put some water in it, get it situated, get my goggles, get every, you know, just kind of make sure that everything's set. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actually a physical warm up, like to race. It's 2.4 miles. You're not going anaerobic from the start. You're not doing anything crazy at the start. It's just a long, steady effort. But if you need it because you're anxious and, you know, your nerves and this is what you always do, go ahead and do it. But physiologically, unless you are starting, you can warm up and start within a few minutes. It's the benefits, I think. You lose your warm up.
That's a great, great tip. It's like, is it similar to like burning those matches that you don't need to just yet?
Well, it's you're not probably doing anything crazy, but if you think, oh, I need to get a good warm up in and that way I can race better, it's just like, well, okay, if that's what you think, if you know, if that's what your routine is, do it. I think for an Olympic distance race, it's a little different. You do want to get in and get a good warm up in because those races start a lot quicker and you swim them a lot harder if you can. But Ironman, you're corralled. It's just like
same philosophy with the shorter distances that you want to have your warm up within 2 to 5 minutes.
Absolutely, it's always because think of it's just like you. Doing a warm-up for running, same thing applies. You warm up for running and then you sit in your house for 30 minutes and then go out and run. It's like, oh, that warm-up was great. Well, we're just going back from that. Okay, well, what about 20 minutes? What about 10 minutes? What about, you know, it's going backwards. When is it beneficial? And in the 5-7 minutes is basically coming from Kevin Wang, who was the head coach up at a local university. And that's why you see those guys when they show up to the blocks in the Olympics. They're wet because they were in the warm-up pool until they were called up, and then they're on the blocks. I mean, that's the goal, is to keep everything, you know, ready to go. And that's, you feel that, you know, you go for a run, and I think we've talked about this before, but you go for a run and you're running along and you're like, oh man, I'm a little tired. I feel like I'm breathing a little hard. I'm laboring a little bit. And it's just within the first, I don't know, mile of your run. And then you hit a stoplight and you stand there for just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You stand there, well, maybe a minute, and then you take off again and you're like, holy cow, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Well, that was a warm up. Mm-hmm. And you had a minute rest and now you're going again. And that's, and again, not to segue into this, but that's where the whole run walk thing is so beneficial, is that you're 4 minutes on, 1 minute off, or 5 minutes one, or 9 minutes one, whatever you choose to do. What it allows you to do, and by the way, Ironman with aid stations every mile, that's your basically your run walk protocol, is that it allows your body to recover and adapt and keeps your heart rate lower, and then you start running again. It takes a while for your heart rate to respond. So your overall heart rate is lower in a run walk. Granted, your pace could be slightly slower, but I'm always surprised how much it really isn't that much slower. I mean, if you're walking a 13-minute mile, you're heel-toeing it, and then you run a 7:15, whereas if you were running just normally, you'd maybe be running a, I don't know, 7:40 without the walking. But every time you stop and walk, you start to run again and you're going 4 minutes and you're like, oh, I'm feeling light. I got quick cadence. I got good form. I'm feeling fresh. And then 3 minutes, you kind of glance at your watch and you're like, oh, you know, okay, I'm about there. And then your watch beeps and it's like, okay, now I'm going to walk. I'm going to heel toe it pretty quickly and then beep. And then you go on again. And it's amazing. The lack of fatigue and stress in you know, post run that you experience versus just going on, say, like a hour 15 run, just a normal run.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people on your easier days, your recovery runs, your basic base runs, to give it a try. You'd be blown away, I think, at how good you will feel, afterwards. But you can't start it halfway through the run. It's from start to finish.
Really?
It's like you run 4, walk 1. Because people do that in like Ironman. It's like, I'm running the whole thing. I'm not going to walk any of it, you know, because that doesn't count. All right.
What happens if you walk the whole thing? Does that count?
Does that count? Counts more to me. You're out there a long time. But if you decide you're going to run and all of a sudden you hit mile 16, then go, nah, I'm going to do the run walk method now. And you're like, oh, it didn't help me at all. It's like, well, you didn't do it. You blew up and then you're basically grasping at straws. So, there's a lot of, I know some phenomenal runners that use this that are very fast that,
So, okay, let's talk about this. Let's go a little bit deeper in this one here. What would be the minimum ratio? Like three miles, then walk a little bit, 4 miles and walk. When you're looking at maybe an Ironman distance,
right?
How should you break that up?
Well, I think Ironman is great. Is already set up. You know, you walk the aid stations.
So maybe a 20-second walk?
Well, no, I'd still stick to the minute. I'd stick on a minute, a full minute. Yeah, that could be basically the minute. If you watch your heart rate when you do practice this, and again, I'm not coming up with this by any means. This is Bobby McGee. This is run, walk, all over. Just Google it. It's everywhere. But normally people don't try it because it's like they don't want to walk. And I mean, and it's hard. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me, as a guy that's kind of known around here in the Spokane area, especially on the north side, you know, to have someone honk at you while you're walking. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was thinking about asking if you needed help. I saw you walking. Oh, no, it's part of my workouts, you know. Well, I think I could run with you then, you know, but it's hard to do. But I would say the minute, though, is really important. I think it needs to be a minute, because if you watch your heart rate drop, it'll eventually belly out at about 50, depending on your recovery, and it just sits there. So that minute is needed. If you go 15 seconds, your heart rate just drops down a little bit, and then you fire it back up.
You mean 50 seconds or 50
beats? About 50 seconds.
Okay.
And then whatever you're, and you'll see it even when you download the data. It's like, what did my heart rate drop down to on average? What was it recovering? And you can follow that, too, of looking at your pace per, you know, the pace and heart rate ratio of what it's doing, which is cool on Training Peaks. But yeah, I would say 1 minute. You want to stick with a minute. Now, what you switch, you might go 4-1. You might go 5-1.
4 minutes or 4 miles?
Minutes on.
Okay.
4 minutes on, 1 minute off. Everything's still minutes. So 5 minutes on, 1 minute off. 8 minutes on, 1 minute off.
Okay.
9 minutes on, 1 minute off.
Okay.
So, I mean, and I think nine is kind of, in general, the longer you want to go.
The longest?
The longest, yeah. Okay. But again, it depends on your pace, and it depends on what you're doing. But I think it's the interval you stay consistent at. Mm-hmm. But again, people out there that are totally passionate about the run walk and the science behind it will probably go, no, you got to do it this way. But again, do what works for you. But I will just say, the amount that I've been doing it for the last bit, it's pretty cool. And especially if you're just getting back into running or off an injury or something like that, I'm telling you, it is phenomenal how much better you feel at the end of the run. It's like, holy cow, I just ran an hour and a half, going five on, one off. You know, it's just like, that's what, 15, you know, cycles. You know, so you're running still a ridiculous amount of time, you know. 15 minutes is all that you're not running in an hour, you know, in an hour or whatever, 15 run. That's still a solid run, and you're feeling fresh, you know, at the end. You're not like all beat up, and it creates that little carrot sometimes at the end of that 4 minutes on or five or six or whatever you do. It's like, ah, now I get a walk, you know, and your heart rate drops. It's a great time to, you know, fuel or drink something, whatever. And then you start up again. It's like, wow, I feel really good.
So it's not miles, it's minutes.
Minutes.
Got it.
Minutes, yeah. Okay.
And this is a technique you told me about at Ironman Arizona a few years ago, maybe 2013 or so, that I think I was looking at heart rate as well. I was looking at heart rate because I was looking at the aid stations. All right, here's the time when I need it to drop so many beats before I pick it up
again. Right.
It was a little bit hot there too, but that was a technique for those aid stations and the mindset. All right, Dave, when you hit out in that run, assume and prepare yourself for a 4-hour jog.
Yeah, you're going for a 4-hour run. I mean, that's,
you're not going for a quick marathon.
And that's the hardest part. Like in Kona or any race that's a, you know, a championship or your championship, whatever it might be, is that you start the run and you just want to run the whole thing. It's like, you got to start from the start, you know, walk those, relax. How great you feel now. Remember at mile 16, 17, things change rapidly and you'll forget. It's like, I should have walked earlier. You can't go back. And and I think we've said that, it's, you know, kind of a zero sum game that you're not banking anything, you know? There's no banking.
So 9 minutes, the maximum. What's the minimum to be efficient?
I think four to one. Okay. 4 minutes on. But again, you got to do what's right for you. You got to, in terms of what it feels like. The important part is making sure that the recovery is recovery. If you shorten the recovery too much and your heart rate's not dropping down low enough, you're shortcutting the recovery, which defeats the whole purpose.
And you're not stopping. You're just continuing to walk.
Oh, yeah. You're just heel-toeing it as quickly as you can. I mean, it's not jogging, but I mean, a normal walk that someone's heel toeing it, you know, when I say heel toeing it, but I mean, you know, walking at a decent clip is a 15-minute mile. It seems like most of mine are 13:30s, like that. And I feel like I'm not looking like a, you know, race walker by any means, but I'm, you know,
okay,
assertively walking.
Okay. Speaking of races, and I'm just trying to think of a clever segue.
Okay.
Walking, racing, the shipment came in. Timex watches
of
different colors.
I saw the box.
The box is here, and these are giveaways.
Okay.
And these haven't been a huge incentive for our listeners. At least, more people aren't listening because we're giving away free stuff. But we have some really cool color schemes this year for Timex. And so I called my people.
Peeps.
I said, Roger and I have some races coming up very soon. I've got a half. Actually, we both have halves here in 3 or 4 weeks. And then I have another half, and then Roger's got a full, and I got a full. How about we do some giveaways based on a contest? They said, sure, we'll ship you some watches. You ship them out to the winners. So we're going to do our first one as the Troika race.
The Troika Half Ironman.
Yep, which is May 21st.
First.
Okay, so how do you want to do it? We'll do it right here. What do you want to choose as you want to do it, run time or overall time? Both of us. There's going to be two giveaways. One for your guess and one for my guess.
Okay, so two. So, oh man.
I should preface my time by telling you that I'm injured.
You're injured?
I have a really terrible, crappy hamstring.
See, it's because you're running too hard.
No, it's because I started taking Taekwondo.
Oh.
back in September of last year.
Oh no.
And this is, in my transition of not getting out of triathlon, but getting away from triathlon.
Right.
And then about a month or two into taking classes and practicing, there's a kick I did, and I heard a pop. Mm. And I heard it was a bad extension, and I was like, ooh, I felt more confident than I was. I was confident, but my flexibility wasn't there. And that's one of the reasons why I'm taking Taekwondo, is to work on my flexibility, balance, and it's a fun new challenge. So I hurt my hamstring, and it's not going away, and I'm not going to stop taking classes, and I'm not going to stop training. And my master says, I say master, that sounds funny. My master says, you got to take a break, but he knows I can't because I'm not going to stop training or, swimming, biking, or running.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to get better. So I just know it's not going to get better. And so it aches every freaking time I run, no matter what. So I'm settling into, this is my pace. Whatever my pace is, and this is as fast as I'm gonna go. Last week I ran just like almost eight and a half miles, and I had to stop. It's like, this is killing me.
You should run walk.
I'm gonna try
give
to
give it a
walk.
Go.
So
4 to 1.
That's my preface. That
so what I'm doing today.
I'm not gonna run very fast. So do you want to do? How do you want to do it? Overall time, run time.
I think overall time is always fun.
Okay,
I mean, that's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number. More room to play with, or.
Yeah, because a lot can happen, Something could be fast and something can get slow. And run times, it seems like
it's harder to guess a full overall time.
Yeah, because run times, it's kind of like, everyone will guess within, 3 minutes of what has been done.
True.
For run times. But yeah. Overall time, sometimes a swim might be mismanaged or mismarked, and then the
transitions could be different.
And the bike could get windy or yep. Get flats, but runs are kind of, granted, you could blow up on runs easy too.
Thank you for that little psychological. You could just blow up on the run.
Right, you could. Yeah.
Okay, so overall time. So whoever comes closest to guessing your time, overall time.
Okay.
And whoever comes closest to guessing my overall time. I guess you can do two guesses.
Sure.
But it's going to be one winner. One person can
per
only
category.
Get one.
Okay.
You can get one watch.
Right.
One person can't win both watches, regardless.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So if you get Roger's time the closest, boom, you're out of the category for Dave's run.
And you get Dave's, you take whatever one's closest, whoever you're closest to.
Two winners.
Different
two winners.
Yep.
And we have different colors. We got some yellow, some neon, a blue, and then our special overall color one, the one we got at camp.
Oh, cool.
So we got four different colors that we'll choose from. And so when we get the winners, I'll just ask them. I'll send them a photo. Here it is. Actually, I'll put a photo on our Facebook page.
Oh, good.
Okay. So what you have to do is email us. How about you do this? Email us at endurancehour@gmail.com. endurancehour@gmail.com. And when you do that, we'll put you into the drawing and we'll add you to our newsletter list. So by giving me your email address, you're agreeing to be a part of our.
And then once newsletter. You get it, they can opt out.
You can opt
right.
out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what it is. I'll make a reminder on the Facebook in case no one's listening this long.
Right.
That's our contest.
Like it. Those are cool watches too.
Yeah. So we got 3.5 weeks, almost 4 weeks. What's today?
I'm going to start training.
Oh, that's a good idea. So that's all I got.
I love it.
Yeah. Watch giveaway coming up. And I guess the deadline would be the day before, so the 20th as long as the race
before the race starts.
Yeah, on the 21st.
Yeah.
So it's called Troika. If you want to look it up, Troika Triathlon, it's 40th year, 35th year, 36th year. It's been around for a long time. And it used to be a qualifier, right?
Used to be a Kona qualifier, yeah. Isn't
that crazy to think that?
Yeah.
Now they're getting rid of races.
Yeah, I know. It's, yeah. And
getting rid of the slots.
Yeah, I think there was an article recently about that, talking about having an Ironman or a 70.3, I think it was on Slow Twitch, is that helping races in your area? Meaning, because there's a local Ironman or half, does that promote, get people doing other races? And I think the general consensus is no, it doesn't. It actually kills those races, because people sign up for one because it's this big monument and it's also very expensive. So mm-hmm. they kind of focus on one and want to do really well at that one because it's really competitive and lots of people at it. So people are straying away from a lot of the smaller.
Well, you know, the budget brands. Too. If you're going to be paying for, like, say, a half Ironman
right.
at $250, then say goodbye to those three sprints in that Olympic.
Yep. Yeah.
That are local.
That's just the reality. And I think sprints definitely will always be there because they're just, people can kind of jump into them and there isn't a lot of exposure on them in terms of, you know, all day event. But I'll tell you, I think Olympics and halves take a lot to put on for the return that they get. And I know Troika is basically doing everything. They're doing like a sprint.
Oh, that's right.
An Olympic.
Same day.
Half. Yeah. Aquathon. Aqua bike. Well, I don't know. Whatever.
Is that the pressure?
The aqua version.
To make money off it? Is that
why? I think it's trying to create something for everyone, you know?
A race for everyone.
But the problem is you end up having, okay, we're going to do the awards for the Aquathon Olympic, and then the Aquathon half for the age group 50 to 50, you know? It starts to get a little, and the teams, co-ed, teams over, teams under, Clydesdale, Athena.
There's Craig, our buddy. I mention Craig all the time on the podcast, and Craig, I know you're one of our 10 listeners. He's doing a team this year.
Oh, cool. At Troika. He's always done a team.
Yeah, he's doing the bike portion, and then Palillo is doing the swim, and then is Erica doing the run?
Could be.
I don't know. I forgot. Craig, let me know. I forget what it is, but I gave him some crap last time I saw him on a bike ride. Said, I want to pass you on the bike. But there, you better work your butt off because I'm going to pass you on the bike. There you go, as hard as you possibly can.
Dave's gonna PR the bike.
I'm gonna be, you know what? I will PR my bike if it's not too windy, and then I'll walk the run.
Oh, there you go.
I'll walk and then run the aid stations and walk.
Run the aid stations. There you go. That's a great strategy. And you know what? You should also swim freestyle with your head above water.
Head up.
Doggy. Rescue swim it.
There you go.
Yeah. Run the aid stations.
I'm going to turn this whole system on its head.
It sounds like what Mark would say.
I saw Mark the other day.
Did you?
Riding in his green kit.
Oh, yeah.
Up Farwell, I think it was. And heading out that way.
No 24-hour race for us this year.
Oh, is that what? How come?
Not just because.
Oh. Well, it's a week after.
It's Troika. A week after, yeah.
No having to stay up real late at night and deal with the cold and the headlight going out.
No. Crashing.
Crashing.
There's always a week before, so I'm a little nervous. I'm thinking I got better go get a great workout in the week before, because
that's always been a good last couple of years. It's worked out for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go on a bike ride. Let's do our own. Let's go out on a 2-hour bike ride.
A 2-hour.
Yeah. Nonstop.
Nonstop. Like bike. Without putting our foot down.
Do it the whole time. Our 2.4 mile. Okay. Anything else that we need to discuss or talk about? Or I wanted to say that I put this out on Facebook, our Facebook page. Ask us questions.
Oh.
So I want to take 5 questions per episode from our audience. Just 5.
Right.
Like coaches' questions, training questions. Like use hashtag Ask Endurance Hour. And I can find that by doing a search for that hashtag, which is the number sign, Ask Endurance Hour. And we can feature up to 5 questions per episode. And maybe we'll make that the focus of an episode.
Oh, cool.
So email that if you want, or just put it on our Facebook page or Twitter. And then you and I can make that some of the segments.
And it could be really anything that people think that we might have some knowledge on. Maybe on, you know, family, food, training, organizing.
Yeah.
Balance, which there is no...
We have a good group of followers, and been steady with us for the last 4 years. I can see the numbers, and they're really consistent. So for those of you listening to us and stuck with us, thank you. And we've been pretty consistent now. Episode 162, we're still going, and we'll get this contest We'll make another reminder in the next couple of weeks, and then on Facebook. And then after that, we'll announce the winner, send out the watches, and then we have more watches for future races.
Ooh, all right.
You're not doing Coeur d'Alene 70.3?
You know, it's not in the plan. Okay. I'll just say that. I never say no, it's...
Never know.
I don't... The problem is it's too close and too far away from Whistler. It's in that just weird spot. If it was a little further out, yes. If it was it was 2 weeks later, more than likely, but it's just in that weird...
Remind me, is Whistler before Ironman Coeur d'Alene?
Oh, it's a month before.
Okay.
So it's July.
And then 70.3 is how many weeks?
4 weeks before.
Okay, that's
why. So if it was like five or six, yes, or two, yes, but not...
Okay, and we'll have a watch giveaway for your race at Whistler.
Okay.
And we'll have a watch giveaway for my race at Coeur d'Alene.
Nice.
So we got eight more watches.
Yep.
Two per race.
Yep.
And then we'll regroup and see what happens for the rest of the year.
Okay. Crazy. Oh my gosh, those races scare me right now.
That's it for this episode. I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you for listening, and send in your email submissions for the guesses and your questions for future episodes. Any final notes? Any final comments?
No, we're supposed to be in the 80s at the end of next week, so that's okay. All I have to say, just to let people out there know.
To be jealous of what we got going for us?
Right now, it's almost raining, but yeah, whatever. Yeah. But it's been decent. Pool's open. Not heated, but...
Have you been... When will you do your first open water swim? Don't tell me on race day. You son of a gun. You're going to do it on race day, aren't you?
Probably. Why? I don't know why.
What about working in the wet
suit? The problem is our lakes around here that you can get in, which I would say Bear and Medical, right? Smaller lakes that are warming up a lot quicker, which some people are in. There's something in the water, like algae or whatever, that, no joke, if I swim out in Bear, I am congested for 4 days.
Okay, I wouldn't go there.
And then same with Medical, like post-Troika, I'm congested for multiple days. So,
Lake Coeur d'Alene?
It could. I don't know if that impacts me that much. It's a lot colder, though.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't know. I don't really need to get in the...
You know, you can always just put you on your wetsuit. I mean, we got the Blue 70 Helix. I've used that in a pool
just to get a
feel for it, just to make sure everything's loose in the shoulders like it usually is. That might be my option versus going out there. I'm not going to warm up anyway.
Yeah, you don't need to warm up. Apparently, warm up. You just heard that. Actually, Troika, you can warm up a bit, you know, right there, because it's the men go first, and then it's women, and then teams, I think, or does it go men?
Well, they got all the different women. Distances this year, so I don't know.
Oh, man, no kidding. I forgot about that. Mm. So, well, awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week of training, racing, recovering. We'll see you next time. Adios.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. Sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.